from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. My name is Clint.
Hey, and I'm Barry, and we are here to talk about...
Don't say it.
Christmas.
Don't say it.
Halloween is over here in Orlando, and Christmas kicked off this past week at Walt Disney World and is about to kick off at SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, Universal, and Legoland. So
we got that to talk about. We got all sorts of little tidbits to talk about on this episode. We're going to tease iApp a little bit because that's coming up next week. Barry's going to tease Tokyo a little bit more, talk about what he's got going on as far as planning for that. Free Play Florida, I was there on Saturday. Cool little retro video gaming convention where they have all sorts of cool stuff. I'll talk about that. Barry saw Grinch, so he'll kind of give a spoiler-free review of that. And of course, the big news last week was the name for the Disney streaming service was announced.
Yeah, Disney Plus.
So we'll dive into that first.
Are we excited now? Disney Plus. Which isn't very shocking, because you got ESPN Plus. So I think they're sort of going in what there isn't. I think there's Hulu Plus. I don't remember off the top of my head. But no, it's going to, it was announced this week during the quarterly earnings phone call, that press, whatever the heck they call that thing, that it's going to be called Disney Plus. And the other big thing that came out of that is not only are we getting two Star Wars series, because we're getting the Mandalorian one, and we're getting the final season of the Clone Wars, finally, after all these years. But we're getting another Star Wars live-action series, and this one will follow the character of Cassian Andor from Rogue One. Obviously, it will take place before Rogue One, and Diego Luna will be back as the role of as Cassian. And they didn't say it in the presser, but you gotta hope that K2SO is going to be back in this one too, because he was definitely one of the best things about Rogue One.
There was a lot of people say that on Twitter and social, like retweeting it and saying, "Oh, I hope K2SO is back in it."
Yeah, I mean, and maybe, you know, part of the thing in this series will be how he acquires K2SO and reprograms him. But, you know, they basically described it as a spy thriller that will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to the galaxy in the grip of the ruthless empire. A release date has not been revealed, but I imagine if The Mandalorian, which we all assume is going to launch with the service in late 2019, then this is probably not till 2020 at the earliest.
Yeah.
The other big news is one of the rumored Marvel Studios series that we've talked about before is now official, that Marvel Studios will produce a live action series centered around Loki, and of course Tom Hiddleston will return to play the role of Loki in this series. No further information besides that. Nothing about whether there will be a Scarlet Witch series, which has been rumored. And the latest rumor out of that, it would be Scarlet Witch and Vision in that series. That's a lot of big stuff. This is on top of what's already been announced, which, of course, was the Star Wars The Mandalorian series, the Disney Pixar Monsters, Inc. Series, Disney Channel High School Musical. Then there's But When the Lady and Tramp, and a bunch of other live action movies that have been announced so far. So
Disney has come flat out, and I don't know if they made this official, but are they legit, like, ripping everything off of Netflix once this streaming service is launched?
I believe it's all when contracts expire.
So they're kind of doing contract based.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the problems they're having with Star Wars is TBS, TNT, whatever deal they have with that includes, I guess the ability for TBS and TNT to, I believe, also stream the some of the Star Wars movies. So
yeah,
that's not all the Star Wars movies will land on there. I mean, the other thing they haven't really announced is the classic library. We would all assume that all the classic Disney stuff is going to be on here. And I imagine a lot of people would be pissed if it's not.
That's the stuff that I'm really curious about, is all the classic stuff that they're going to put back up on the streaming service. Yeah, not necessarily all this new blockbuster stuff.
Because you can't find a lot of that stuff outside of buying a DVD or a Blu-ray of it. It's not all out there. And it's always been one of the more bizarre things.
There's also a lot of discussion on how they're going to do the vault. Like, are they going to put stuff from the vault on the streaming service and put it back in the vault, or
I would imagine certain animated classics may show up there for a certain amount of time, especially the big ones that are the ones that go what do they call them, diamond or platinum ones.
Yeah,
now that disappear for a while. I imagine some of those will show up on the service for a little while and then disappear for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. For those of us who are huge Disney fans, we want all of it on there.
we want it all.
We want all the old stuff. We want all the old classic shorts on there. All the old series. I mean, especially a lot of the older Disney Channel animated series like House of Mouse.
Yeah,
you know, a bunch of other stuff. I'm hoping to like that Three Caballeros one that's only. Only in Asia, people have been able to see. I am assuming that's coming to the service too. You know, a lot of this classic stuff that you can't always find anymore. I just hope it's there. And on top of all this new stuff, I mean, I'm sold. Just based on the new stuff alone.
Yeah, so. I'm a little more excited about the Star Wars stuff than I am the Loki thing for some reason.
Yeah, the interesting thing will be out of the Marvel stuff that's been announced so far is that Marvel Studios, the movie arm, is producing. This is not the TV.
Yeah.
The TV one that's producing. So, you know, and like they've continued to say, it'll be the Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, all the family-friendly, you know, PG-13, G to PG-13 stuff will be on this streaming service. Everything else is going to Hulu. They still haven't totally announced what Fox stuff is going to come over there, but I assume the family Fox stuff is going to end up on the Disney streaming service.
Yeah.
Because why not? Why would you not put the Blue Sky, the Blue Sky ones, and then the classic hand-drawn ones, like was it like Anastasia and Ferngully and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And of course, like Mrs. Doubtfire, and you know, I mean, why would you not put that stuff on the Disney service, and then you move all the adult stuff over to Hulu, like the Aliens and Planet of the Apes and stuff like that?
Because there was a lot of talk when this whole Disney Fox thing was going on that the main reason they were going for Fox were to have kind of an output for adult content. It sounds like I'm saying like,
but yeah, you know, yeah, but if
like
the
rated
stuff.
R stuff, yeah,
yeah. I mean the older stuff. It's the library that Fox has, and it's also the adult fare that Disney has just sort of given up.
Yeah,
and in this day and age, they're going to need, you know. And also that majority stake now in Hulu, they need, you know, they have a two-pronged approach, you know. And they also mentioned the fact that there will probably be a discount if you bundle different services together. Like, they may offer a discount bundle for Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, especially as this merger goes through, because there's all kinds of different apps. You know, I mean, FX has an app, you know, their own app. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening, whether they streamline all these different apps or if they keep going with the different separate apps for some of the Fox stuff. So
they got a lot of content to work with. So,
yeah,
so nothing short of tons. So.
But then we get into The Grinch came out this weekend, and it you know, it is the number one movie of the weekend, not surprisingly. I got to see it earlier this week at the Universal annual pass holder screening, and I'm gonna try not to spoil anything, but it was an hour and a half long. It was really good. I really liked it. As we've talked about this Grinch movie on here before with the trailers, and really liking the trailers, and I'm one of those people who has refused to ever watch the live action version of it. Because I love the original Christmas special.
Yeah.
To me, the live action, even though I've never watched it, you know, besides the snippets here and there and the trailers or little clips here and there, it's just to me, it's an abomination.
I still to this day don't think I've seen it all the way through.
No, I've never had a want to see it.
Yeah, so that's kind of the same way I am.
Saying no that, Illumination put their, they follow mostly the story. They put some of their own little spin on it, which I liked. It really, it is hands down the most beautifully animated thing Illumination has ever done. They really up their game in this movie. I mean, it looks better than any film they've ever done. I mean, it looks almost like Disney Pixar quality.
Yeah, just from the trailer, it looks amazing. The colors,
the Grinch himself, the characters, the animation is just, it's stunning. And that's probably the first time I've ever said that with an Illuminations movie.
How did you like Benedict as the Grinch?
I liked him. I mean, they did a little bit of a different take on him, which I was totally fine with. I mean, it's they sort of explained, why the Grinch is the way he is, and they really, I think, showed more of the stuff between him and Max is really cute, and then the rain, when the reindeer shows up, he steals a lot of it. And the one thing they left out a lot of the trailers was Cindy Lou, and I liked the take they did with Cindy Lou. It's like they sort of updated it to a little bit more modern. I'd say the only weak spot to me was having Pharrell narrate it, I understand why they had Pharrell narrate it. I mean, he's obviously done a lot for them.
Yeah, he was big with the Despicable Me franchise. Yeah, and songs
so,
and.
So, I mean, I understand why, but it's like, I almost feel like maybe in sense of this, maybe someone like John Legend might have been better, because John Legend's got a little bit better of a voice.
Yeah.
It didn't take away from the movie, and the movie had a very Seussian look to it, while also, being distinctly Illumination. I really enjoyed the movie, and it looks like a lot of other people have, and I expect it to do really good, throughout the holidays. It hasn't opened as big as, they mentioned, like Secret Life of Pets made $100 million, but also Secret Life of Pets came out in the summer.
Yeah.
But I expect the Grinch to have legs. I mean, obviously it's really, its only competition is going to be Wreck-It Ralph 2. And, until the Wreck-It Ralph obviously Wreck-It Ralph will probably win Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
But, I mean, The Grinch is a Christmas story, so it's going to play through the holidays.
Yeah, it's got a ways to go, so.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it, and, it's definitely something, I mean, when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm definitely, we'll pick it up, because it's, I really liked it. I thought it was a really well-done version of The Grinch story, so.
I'm looking at the numbers right now, and it took in $66 million over the weekend.
Yeah, which is about, that's better than, I guess what Sing was the last time they released something during the holiday period, and I think that only opened like 35 or 40 something, so.
Yeah.
And the big thing, too, the Illumination movies cost about half of what a Disney animated film costs.
Yeah.
So it's going to do very well, and we posted some pictures of some of the merchandise they had, and some of the merchandise is fun too. It's they they definitely came up with their own little spin.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of it. Like when Halloween Horror Nights was over, and they were Universal was full steam with Christmas. Of course, the Grinch merchandise was front and center. And I saw some.
And who knows with the success of this, maybe that'll finally get that that Grinch ride off the back burner.
Yeah,
that
the rumored Grinch ride that's been around forever.
Yeah, it's been talked about for years of going in there.
Not to get off topic, but I'm scrolling through box office numbers, and Nutcracker and the Four Realms made $9.6 million this weekend to bring it to $35 million.
Yeah, and Nutcracker and the Four Realms cost twice, I think, $150 million.
$125 million right here, yeah. $125 million budget.
Yeah, and that doesn't include advertising, so...
Yeah. I
mean, it's
so...
That's definitely... That is Disney's biggest bomb of the year.
Yeah, which it always seems like they always have one.
Because even A Wrinkle in Time did way better than that. Did way better than that by its second weekend.
Yeah.
So it's Disney, their live action division, they have really not been doing good lately.
Yeah.
It's they've, you know, and we're, this coming year is going to be the true test, because I gotta imagine one, maybe two of those live-action remakes are going to flop.
You got Aladdin, what, Lion King?
King and Dumbo.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing we've seen so far is a brief trailer of Dumbo. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've had this discussion before. When was the last time Tim Burton made a good movie?
Yeah.
You know, and same thing with Aladdin. When was the last time Guy Ritchie made a good movie?
Yeah,
you know, it's like Lion King. I expect that to be huge. I mean, Jon Favreau did an amazing job with the Jungle Book, so I think we're in good hands with that one.
And you know, but Disney's gonna market the hell out of that.
Yeah,
movie.
the other two are really iffy.
Yeah.
So
that was I gotta go see it. I'll probably take Jordan here to go see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it, The Grinch. So
yeah, there's so many movies coming out now. It's like I still want to see Bohemian Rhapsody, and then Fantastic Beasts is coming out, and then Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming out, and I like to see. I loved the first Creed, so I'm hoping Creed 2 will actually be good. So
I forgot, when is that coming out?
That's Thanksgiving week 2.
Is that a Thanksgiving week one? Yeah, yeah. Cool.
So there's plenty of stuff coming out, and then you know, and then right before Christmas we got even more. So.
And speaking of Christmas, you were you did some laps this weekend around the Disney parks, and mainly Hollywood Studios.
Yeah,
and checked out some of the new offerings and what's been updated, what's new there.
Yeah, I mean we Christmas kicked off this week at Walt Disney World at both Disney Springs and Hollywood Studios. We'll talk Hollywood Studios first. Number one, the new entrance opened, the new entrance and exit, and
How exciting was that?
It was exciting in the fact it was a heck of a lot easier to get into the park and way easier to get out of the park at the end of the night.
Because
we went to Flurry of Fun, you know, checked out some of the new decorations, and I mean, Sunset Season's Greetings is back, and the only thing new with that this year is lasers. There's lasers that, you know, that go down, that shoot down Sunset Boulevard, and there's also lasers projected onto the tower. So they've sort of enhanced. It's the same series of greetings as there was last year, but they've been enhanced with lasers. It is what it is. We had this discussion last year about it, and I couldn't tell you which podcast episode, but it's not a replacement for Osborne Lights. It's a nice diversion, but if you sit there and you can watch people hang around for a few minutes, watch it. A lot of people don't watch it at all. A lot of people just keep walking straight.
They have no clue what's going on. They're just walking the Tower of Terror.
Yeah, they so it's a little diversion. It is what it is. There's decorations in Toy Story Land. I will emphasize there is not a lot of decorations in Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
If you go on Facebook, if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see the live stream we did from Flurry of Fun, where we went through Sunset Season's Greetings, Toy Story Land, and Echo Lake. There's just a few little things. I mean, the only big thing is the two Christmas songs that they added to Alien Swirling Saucers, which is just a neat little thing to add.
And didn't they add, like, a jingle to Slinky Dog?
I don't know about that. I didn't hear that when I was there.
Yeah.
But it was hard. I mean, you couldn't really stand a while near a lot of sections of Slinky Dog because they were in the middle of filming one of the Disney holiday specials.
Oh.
Yeah, we literally walked past, what's-her-face, Sarah Hyland from Modern Family, and then someone else who I'm assuming is probably from a Disney Channel show was there, and they were shooting stuff, and they were literally, like, you know, keeping people moving through the area so they wouldn't let you stop.
Yeah.
So... you know, it's a cute little addition. I mean, the Toy Story Land already has Christmas lights, so, I mean, throwing up a few Christmas decorations, it's nothing on the level of what Cars Land does
out
in California. But it's a cute little addition. Any additional decorations helps. I mean, that's one thing the studios has sort of, since they lost Osborne lights, they've sort of upped the decorations in the rest of the park to try to sort of, I don't know, make up for the lack of the greatest Christmas thing ever.
Sorry, Osborne's gone. Here's a bunch of figurines.
Yeah, I mean, then we went, you know, we went over to Echo Lake, and you know, since last year, the Christmas tree's in the park, which is really nice, and that location, and with having the Christmas tree sort of in the middle of the lake with all those also lit up Christmas balls, it's really pretty and a great picture taking opportunity. And they added a few more figurines around Echo Lake to sort of add into the area. So there's a few more decorations. We stayed for Jingle Bell Jingle Bam, which is pretty much the same show as it was last year. You know, last year, this is its third year. You know, last year they sort of upped, they added some more fireworks and stuff to the show, which was a massive improvement, and it's pretty much the same show this year, which is, it's a fun show. I mean, it's worth your time to check it out at least once.
Yeah.
And then we headed out, and I'd say the new exit was great because traffic didn't back up. It kept constantly flowing out of the park. So that definitely solved one of the biggest problems that park has is exiting at the end of the night.
And it all exits, the exit's still south of the park, right? Near Osceola Parkway?
Yeah, yeah, you enter and exit through the same area.
Yeah.
So it all goes out that way now.
There's
so,
nothing that's at the north side anymore.
Yeah, the north side is for buses now.
Yeah.
So nice little, you know, Flurry of Fun is fun. You know, it's like we've said, same thing we said last year. It's not it's no Osborne lights, but any Christmas at that park is much needed. So. Moving on to Disney Springs, all the, you know, was also there another night, and all the decorations are up pretty much about the same. There's some more decorations in the marketplace area than there was before. You know, the other thing, it was my first time walking into the completely remodeled World of Disney store, and I gotta say, that is the most gigantic improvement ever.
Yeah.
It blows my mind what they did with that place and how much more open it feels compared to before.
Yeah. The few I haven't been to it since it's completely reopened, but, I've been in the first few phases that they opened, and just those few little sections that they opened over the last couple months. It's a huge difference just how open it is in there now.
Yeah. How open it is in there. And, I mean, at first when we saw the pictures of the brick and mortar brick and steel girder type look, it's like, ugh, you know, it's the stuff we've seen everywhere, but they put their own little Disney twist on it, having it be like it was an animation studio.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of different, projections and things. And really, I thought it was really well done, way better and easier to, even as crowded as it was way easier to walk through and look at stuff than it ever was before. So that was a massive improvement. So we went through the Christmas tree trail this year, and this year it's bigger than it's ever been before. much better. This is what, its third year that they've done this, and
I think so. Yeah,
this, they've definitely upped the game this year with the Christmas trees. Especially the Haunted Mansion tree is one of the new trees this year. The Star Wars tree is one of the new trees this year. And I'm blanking on the other new trees. I believe the Toy Story tree is a new tree this year. Oh, and the resort. There's a resort tree.
Is that the one with the monorails on it or what?
Yeah, that's the one with the monorail toy going around it.
Yeah.
Between that and the fencing and then all these different posters advertising these fake shops that are based on different Disney characters or different Walt Disney World things.
Oh, yeah. I saw that when you were doing the live stream. That's a neat little addition.
Yeah, it's a neat little addition. It's they've really, this is out of the, you know, for the third year now, this is definitely the best one. Really nice. You know, I can't recommend, if you're at Disney Springs, you definitely should take a walk through there. It's fun. It's fun to look at all the trees and look at all the different posters and things. So, you know, it's definitely a massive improvement. So, you know, that's what's kicked off so far. Obviously, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party has kicked off, and then coming up, what the heck is Animal Kingdom doing? They're not really doing much of anything.
Cheryl was at Animal Kingdom on Thursday?
Yeah,
for Connor's birthday, and they have the. The bird show going.
Oh, the Indians,
I can't think of what it's called.
Yeah, I
the Indian holiday celebration, whatever it is.
It's like a festival of lights or something like that.
They have that integrated. They have that going. So they have that going for them.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom's really the only park left where they need to do something.
Yeah,
because they used to have the parade, and they used to do a Christmas overlay of the parade. Yeah, it's funny that there used to be three Christmas parades.
I know.
And so it's
Pepperidge Farms remembers.
Yeah. It's still the one park that's sort of lacking when it comes to Christmas. So and Epcot, has already, even though Food and Wine, hadn't ended, had already put up its Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
But their Christmas will kick off the day after Thanksgiving, which I always thought was sort of annoying. If you come this busy Thanksgiving week, it's like, I don't know why they don't kick off Epcot's Christmas Thanksgiving week. To me, it sort of makes no sense.
Yeah.
But whatever. But Epcot and their Epcot's International Holiday Festival of the Holidays, I think is what it's called. That'll kick off, and that, of course, will be even bigger with even more food booths. And, of course, the Candlelight Processional returns for the, I don't know, year.
And then also we got SeaWorld, Universal's Christmas kicking off. So it's that time of the year where everything's going to be kicking off.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with SeaWorld's Christmas this year is they're really upping the light displays, which is sort of the one thing Busch Gardens Christmas Town has had over them.
Mm-hmm.
Is Christmas Town has so many light displays, and whereas SeaWorld, you know, their emphasis has always been on the shows. Which they still have. They have so many shows. They have the Elmo's Christmas, the Sea Lion one. They have Oh Holy Night. They have the Shamu Christmas show. They have the Winter Wonderland Ice Show.
Oh Wondrous Night.
Oh Wondrous Night. On top of all the roaming performers that are roaming all around. But the big thing they're adding is more Christmas lights this year. So there's going to be a lot more Christmas lights throughout the park, and so more Christmas displays.
I'm excited for, because I tell everybody, and they look at me like I'm crazy. I say this every time. I tell them that SeaWorld is my favorite park for Christmas.
Yeah, and, SeaWorld, hands down, for what you get for the price. It's the best Christmas celebration in town.
So I'm anxious to get out there and check it out.
And Rudolph's back for another year.
Yeah, we were there on the last day for Halloween Spooktacular, and they had all the Rudolph stuff already going up. So
yeah, and then over at Universal, I mean, the Christmas parade, the new Christmas parade is back. Holiday parade is back. The the holiday lights, the Hogwarts show is back. We've heard rumors that Grinchmas might be a little bit different this year, but those have only been rumors. We do know that there are going to be some new LED trees in Grinchmas this year. So we'll be interested to see if they do do a little light show or anything.
Yeah, I saw those when I was there last week. They're installed, ready to go. And there's also some new trees over by the King's Cross in London before you head into Diagon. I noticed those are new. And so far, that's what I've noticed with my own eyes, what they've added this year.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see after, because Universal likes to keep everything close to the vest, if how much new stuff, whether, you know, they added a bunch of new decorations last year, and it looks like we're getting some more new decorations this year, because starting with last year, they finally went all in on Christmas, and looks like we're getting a few little upgrades this year. We haven't heard anything about any new floats coming to the parade or anything, but who knows? With Universal, we might find out the day before.
Yeah,
that there's a new float. So,
and we got Mannheim Steamroller. They're also coming back.
Yeah, so everything's pretty much coming back the same at Universal. Christmas Town over Busch Gardens doesn't seem to be that much different. I think there's a new holiday show in the Dragonfire Grill this year that's called Christmas Is. So that's the new show this year, on top of the returns of Christmas on Ice, Elmo's Christmas Wish, the Holiday Hills Band, the Carol of Bells Light Show, and the Christmas Town Sing-Along Train. Also new this year will be A Brunch with Santa. So, you know, and as we've said before, Busch Gardens really does the light displays up big.
Yeah, I love I've only been down there once or twice for their Christmas, for Christmas Town, and their light display there is pretty spectacular. So I'm anxious to see what SeaWorld does since they're adding more this year. And Christmas Town at Busch Gardens kicks off November 17th, I believe.
Pretty much Saturday, all right? Three kicks off November.
Kick 17th. Off this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So Christmas is here. I went to a, I guess I can talk about this really quick. I went to a private event last night. My sister, she works out at the Space Center, and they rented out the park, and she invited me to go hang out with them. And it was at Universal Studios, and they have pretty much everything ready to go as far as Christmas decorations. They have the trees up. So I'm excited. I'm slowly getting there, out of my Halloween Horror Nights depression.
Yeah, it was definitely borderline. I wondered why I was so irritable this week, and it's like I think it's because of Halloween Horror Nights ending.
Like this week, we didn't know what to do with ourselves.
I will say, I still keep having Killer Clowns theme and the Vamp 85 playlist keep popping in my freaking head, even though we're a week. It's been a week. That stuff still keeps popping in my head. So
yeah, that stuff was all gone. They cleared it out and they left the ice cream truck and stuff there for a few more days, but that's gone.
Yeah, because you also got to go to Stranger Things Day.
Yeah, let me. I'll talk about that really quick. Stranger Things Day was on Tuesday, last Tuesday, and basically, Universal Studios said, "Hey, Stranger Things coming up. Stranger Things Day coming up on Tuesday. Let's keep the Halloween Horror Nights maze open for one more day," and that being Stranger Things Day on Tuesday. So they did that, and they left some of the Stranger Things food tents up that sold like the waffle on a stick, and all the stuff was still available in the bakery. And they had some Stranger Things merchandise left over from Halloween Horror Nights. Not a whole lot, but yeah, the main thing is that they kept the Stranger Things haunted house from Halloween Horror Nights open. And I got there about 11 o'clock, right when it opened. And there was a first initial surge of people, and it went to about an hour wait. And pass holders, if you were a Universal Orlando pass holder, you got to do Express. So I did it like four times, which is almost like the more than I did it the whole Halloween Horror Nights run, because the wait was just always ridiculous. But no, it was cool. It was really neat to be able to go through a maze, you know, however many days that was after Halloween Horror Nights being done. And let alone during the day, you know, we talked about it back in our Halloween Horror Nights episodes, that going through like Dead Exposure, and a few of the houses, you know, at that 6 o'clock time frame when the sun was still up, you know, how Dead Exposure and a few of the other ones really messes with your eyes. Yeah. And this was really bad because it was like broad daylight, like noon. So it made the Stranger Things maze, at least the first probably half of it, by the time your eyes got adjusted, a little bit more exciting. And it also seemed like the scare actors were really giving it their all, like one last hoorah. Yeah. Some of the Demogorgons were really, really intense. And I probably had some of the best run-throughs of the Stranger Things maze on Tuesday. Just from the intensity that all the scare actors were given, whether it was the Demogorgons or the face characters, the kids. It was really neat. And then they had people standing out at the exit handing out I found Will Byers stickers. Mm-hmm. So it was neat. It was a cool little thing that they did. There was people saying that this was a test for a year-round Stranger Things haunt, kind of like what Hollywood does with The Walking Dead. They have like a year-round Walking Dead walkthrough experience.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's true, but if this was a test, it was successful because it was a pretty significant wait all day. It died down a little bit. It got crazy right before closing. I think it was like a 120-minute wait at park closing. I left early because I did my... like I said, I went through it like three or four times and I left.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be an easy way to add something additional for 2019.
Yeah.
Since
at least until, you know, they get this Potter coaster open.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we got the Potter coaster and then the T2 replacement, which we know they're working on because, I mean, because when I went through that RIP tour, as we were walking backstage, we walked past the Terminator show building and you could see right inside the back of it and it was completely gutted. So,
yeah.
So it's, you know, it would definitely be another additional thing in their arsenal to counter Star Wars Land in 2019. Is keeping a Stranger Things maze around.
Yeah, and even if they were to move it somewhere else and, you know, maybe give it a little bit of a facelift, make it a little bit more, you know, even though that this maze was incredible, something to give it a little bit more permanent, you know, status.
Yeah, the thing would be is I don't know where they would put it because, you know, like we discussed... well, in last week's episode, those sound stages are getting used a lot more than they have been in a while.
Sure.
So they're getting, I mean, because the sound stage that was used for Poltergeist is really the Dave School's normal sound stage.
Yeah.
That they use, and they sort of had to take it away from the Dave School for a little while so they could put in Poltergeist in there.
Give me a Poltergeist year-round haunt. Come on, Universal.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But
no,
well, it was obviously a success, and the question would be is would they put in a year-round Stranger Things house? So
because I mean, obviously, Halloween Horror Nights it was a huge success, and this test afterwards, even on a Tuesday afternoon, even then, the Stranger Things maze got insane lines. And, you know, I saw kids probably 6-7 years old going through this thing, and they had team members out front, like, warning people, like, hey, this is a haunted house. It's scary. It's dark. It's... but parents still dragged their 6-7, and the kids were fine about it. Like, they were like, okay, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no big deal. So they were out there kind of warning parents, like, hey, this, you know... This ain't no joke. This is legit. It's going to be scary. So it was cool. It was a fun little experience. That was that kind of gave me a temporary Band-Aid on my sadness of missing Halloween Horror Nights. So,
and speaking of retro, while we're on the talking about a retro show, you got to go to an interesting little gaming thing this weekend.
Yeah, it's called Free Play Florida. I had never heard about it. They invited us out to go check it out, so I took my oldest son Jordan because he's into video games, so I threw him in the car and we went over. It was held right over here at the Caribe Royale in South Orlando, kind of right there on 535. So we went over there and checked it out. It's a retro gaming. They also have some modern gaming. They have some. The big thing is they really focus on the retro gaming and the pinball machines, which were a blast because who doesn't love a good game of pinball? And they had just every kind of pinball game imaginable there. Just aisles and aisles and aisles of pinball machines from newer ones. Like they had like a brand new Deadpool one, which was really cool. All the way back to like the super old school ones that like the scoreboard wasn't even digital. It was like the little flat things that fall over, you know, mm-hmm. that keep the score. And me and Jordan, we had a blast playing all those. And then they also had a good mix of video games. Like they had retro consoles, like they had some of the ones that I didn't even know about before my time. All running on like Apple IIs and everything. So that was really cool to see some of that. And they had Jordan fell in love with the Virtual Boy, as you saw on Twitter. He saw
God,
this.
I remember that thing.
Yeah, the migraine machine. but he saw that and he's like, "Dad, what is this?" And I was like, "Oh, that's a Virtual Boy." I was like, "You go have fun with that. I'm not sticking my face in that thing." Yeah. So he fell in love with that. And it was a really cool time. They have all different. They had a little section for vendors. They had some celebrities there, as most of these conventions do. They had, I'm terrible. I'm unprepared for this. Unfortunately, Mr. Tron, I was looking forward to meeting him, but he unfortunately had to cancel because of the wildfires out in California. Bruce Tron himself. Yeah. I always get his last name messed up. Box.
But Bruce Boxleitner.
Boxleitner. Thank you.
One of the actresses that was there.
Yeah, so they actually reached out to Cindy Morgan, who plays Yori in Tron. Apparently she lives in South Orlando, and they were able to reach out to her, and she drove up and took her place, which was really cool of her to do that. So we went to her panel, and she talked about her experience, not just in Tron, but she was in Caddyshack also.
Yeah.
So she talked a lot about that and some of the fun experiences she had on set on Caddyshack, and then she kind of slowly moved into talking about Tron and working with Bruce and working with Jeff on the set of Tron, which was really interesting because everybody knows I'm a huge Tron fan, and just the minimalist stuff that they used to film this movie. Like, some of the things she mentioned, when they were filming, they didn't have big sets. Like, a huge portion of this movie was literally filmed in a black soundstage with no props or sets or anything.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting hearing her talking about that, and working with Jeff and working with Bruce. And she kind of mentioned about Bruce, just kind of like their relationship in the movie, and Jeff. She was like, Jeff was like one of the coolest guys to work with. Really laid back, really cool guy. So yeah, that was really cool to be able to chat with her. And then we went back inside and we played some more arcade games. What else did they have there? I'm trying to think what else. It was just a really cool time. Like, they had a huge Tron arcade that was, like, probably, like, 12 feet tall. You had to like stand up on like this stepping stool to play it. It was like this huge Tron arcade, and they had one other one that was same. It was like oversized, gigantic gaming arcade consoles. I think it could have been Donkey Kong. I can't remember. But it was really cool playing this huge Tron arcade game. And then they had a little Stranger Things section where they had all the kind of like what they had in the Universal gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
They had a corner dedicated to all the video games that the kids play in Stranger Things, and they had the little they had a little theme section for that. So yeah, it was really cool. I had never heard about it until they invited us out to check it out. And it was a fun time. I liked it. I'm a huge gamer. So it was really cool to kind of dabble in all these different, like I said, there was a lot of stuff there that I didn't even know about, especially in the console gaming section. I think that was the most fascinating section to me. But all of it was a blast. The pinball, the arcades, the retro gaming section. And then they had, you know, they had some actor, they had, some YouTube celebrity there. I didn't know who the heck he was, because I can't keep up on all these YouTube celebrities, but I posted it on the Throw Geek Twitter account. He was there. He had a huge line. He's like some angry YouTube gamer or something. I don't know. But he was there. Yeah, that was about it. It was a fun time. I liked it. And I think this was their first year at the Caribe Royale.
I think they've been at the
Double Tree, I think they said, yeah. So they moved down to the Caribe Royale this year, and yeah, it's a cool time. It ran all weekend. Today was the last day. It ran Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And tickets were like, I think it was like $30 for 2 days. All the games are free. All the video games are free. All the pinball game machines are free. You just kind of walk up and you hit the start button and you're off. So it was fun. I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, I've been in the past when it was at the DoubleTree, and because it's usually either the weekend before IAPA or the weekend after IAPA.
Yeah,
and it's so they usually always get a lot of people who are either here for IAPA. Besides the locals, they get people who are here for IAPA coming by, and so it's definitely a fun thing. I mean, you pay, like you said, you pay one price and you get to play all these games and stuff, and.
Yeah, that was the coolest thing. Is, you know, they don't hit you for the games once you're inside. It's all included in your admission, like I said, which I think is like $30-$40.
Yeah.
So not too bad. You know, if you go down there with your kid or something, spend the day there hanging out playing video games. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I pretty much have spent a lot of the rest of my week when I've not been working. planning for this Tokyo trip, Tokyo Disney is definitely a place you just can't show up. And
yeah, I haven't asked you personally, just as a friend. So how is your, you guys are going to have to plan this trip. Usually people plan Tokyo big trips like this like years in advance, or at least a year in advance. You guys are going in a month, so
yeah. I mean, it's definitely a crash course. Thank God for TDR Explorer and the Disney Tourist blog, because you know, if you're planning a trip there, those are definitely the two places to find the most information, especially TDR Explorer. You know, I mean, one of the big things with going to Tokyo Disney is like the merchandise, because their merchandise constantly changes.
Yeah.
Speaking
of which, I'm gonna have to do that link you sent me. I'm gonna have to do some homework and.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting, because it's like so much of their, it's not the typical merchandise we're used to here. It's a lot of different stuff that's catered towards the Japanese tourist.
And that's just it. It's all so cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of amazing, cool stuff that they have there.
Yeah.
If you want a Disney plush, I mean, they have so many different types of Disney plush, and the crazy thing is they change constantly. They don't have the same Disney plush all the time.
Yeah.
It's constantly new, different versions of stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of specific merchandise just for the 35th anniversary. There's all kinds of specific merchandise just for the Christmas celebration. And all this, and every year it's new, different. They like the Christmas stuff. It's not the same Christmas stuff every year.
Yeah,
it's new Christmas stuff every year. And then there's the merchandise that comes with some of the food you buy. There's, you know, I mean, there's, it's just so much. I mean, on top of planning, and Tokyo Disney is a place that you have to plan for, because it, even if you go in on a weekday, it's busy.
Yeah.
And you've got, it's a place that, since they still have the old fashioned fast pass system, it's a place where you have to be there at the park gate 30 minutes to an hour before the park opens.
I was just about to ask you that. I was like, Tokyo still has the paper fast passes, right?
Still has the paper fast passes, and you've got to go in there with a plan. Because you know, and that's what's great about these webs, the Disney Tourist Blog and TDR Explorer, is they tell you what you need to do if you want to ride certain things.
That's good.
And so it's just sort of looking through all the different guides, looking through all the different merchandise, deciding what's, if we have to skip something, what are we going to skip? And of course, God, there's so many. And you know, we complain here sometimes about the lack of shows. There's so much entertainment at those two parks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, there's, you know, Tokyo Disneyland, there's three parades. there's three parades. There's multiple.
What's a parade?
Yeah. There's three parades. There's multiple nighttime shows. There's multiple other shows. You know. And I mean, and they still have a show in their Diamond Horseshoe. You know, I mean, they still have different show, like dinner type show, you know, shows like that that we don't have here.
Yeah.
So there's just so much to figure out, and tickets and all that stuff. So it's been a dot. You know, I'm covering this part of the trip. I'm the one who's learning everything about this part of the trip, where she's planning the other part of the Tokyo part of the trip, which as of right now we're going to go to Joyopolis, which is like, I don't know if it's still Sega, but it's like the big indoor arcade with rides and all kinds of crazy stuff. We're also going to go to Tokyo Dome City to at minimum ride Thunder Dolphin, which is the big giant Intamin coaster that starts indoors, and then you go out and you go through the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, that one should be fun.
Yeah, so I mean, we're going to do stuff like that, and we're also going to do this digital museum that I discovered the other day through, of all things, the latest issue of IAPA's magazine, Fun World, where it's all imagine projection mapping on steroids.
Oh yeah,
and these giant projection, immersive projection mapping displays that literally like immerse you in the art.
That's cool.
Of all these different things, and it just opened earlier this year. So that we were like, well, we're gonna add that in, because you know, on top of visiting, you know, all the different type, you know, big things in Tokyo, like the Imperial Palace grounds and different temples, and going to like, was it Shinjuku district and the Harajuku district and all these different places. So
you could just spend 2 weeks in Tokyo alone.
Yeah. No. Oh no. I mean, this is definitely a crash course trip. I mean, it's basically, 7.5 days in Tokyo. You know, it wasn't our ideal situation, but the airfare was too low to pass up. And, I just look at it this way, you know, when we go back to Japan, which we will be going back to Japan, you know, we'll be able to go to other places like Kyoto and Osaka and still maybe come briefly into Tokyo for a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is going to be an amazing trip, and I can't wait for all you guys to follow along on this. You know, we'll be giving you little updates as we count down to this trip, and bring Thrill Geek International for the first time outside of Mexico.
This our podcast, our number two audience has always been Japan. So like you said, I think
if I run into somebody that recognizes me, my jaw is going to probably drop on the floor if that ever I don't expect that to happen.
It would be cool though.
It would be cool though, but we're looking forward to bringing this all to you, and not just while we were there, but we will come back with a bunch of content that will be talking about and adding to like our YouTube channel.
Yeah, like I said,
it's all said and done.
Don't worry about Thrill Geek too much while you're over there. Enjoy yourself. But
no, I mean we will have a Wi-Fi hotspot, because I mean especially with this type of planning, if having internet service is a huge thing, because it's going to get us from point A to B, especially Tokyo has one of the most amazing transportation systems in the world, but also one of the most complicated transportation systems in the world. So it's a lot of planning, but we're going to have internet the entire time, and so you know we'll be having fun, but we'll be posting throughout, so you guys can get a taste of what it's like for us to go to Tokyo for the first time. Well, for me to go to Tokyo for the first time. She's been there before, but it's definitely both our first trip. This will be the first parks that both of us had never been to before.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So that's going to be pretty cool. So we'll keep counting down to it's less than a month away.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So
I know, and then on top of this, the other day, we're going to Puerto Rico in January.
Yeah.
Because I somehow this weekend, tickets for those, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who's obviously coming up in Mary Poppins Returns, you know, he's the creator of Hamilton, and you know, he originally starred in Hamilton when it debuted, and you know, after he was on Broadway for 1 year, and then like in most cases, you know, never to appear again, for the most part, but since his family's from Puerto Rico, he's bringing Hamilton to Puerto Rico, and he's going to be in it.
You guys are flying down there for that, right?
Yeah, we were like, I was like, you know, part of the thing with 2019 was like, okay, we're going to cut back, because you know this Japan trip's going to cost, like, even with the cheap airfare, I mean, we're talking minimum $3,000.
Yeah.
For the days we're there, but we were like, well, let's try. Let's see if we get tickets. You never know. But I expected not to, because we weren't the only ones who were planning on getting tickets to this thing and flying down there.
Yeah.
On top of, like, you know, 10,000 of the tickets are being held for residents of Puerto Rico, and they only have to pay like $10 a ticket.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So, and all this is, you know, to raise money for charity to help Puerto Rico. So we're like, you know, screw it, let's try, you know, and it's a good cause too, and we've wanted to go to Puerto Rico, we've never been, so it's somehow I lucked out and got tickets for the Saturday matinee on the final weekend, and we're going to Puerto Rico. So we're definitely looking forward to visiting Puerto Rico for the first time. I mean, it's in San Juan, which, for the most part, San Juan has bounced back. It's the rest of the island that still really needs people's help. And,
yeah,
you know, one of the ways you can help is go to Puerto Rico and spend your money there.
Support
the economy there. So, and I think that's the whole point of having Hamilton there is not only raising this money for charity, but getting people to fly down to Puerto Rico and spend some money there. And so we got our tickets. We've already booked an Airbnb near the beach, and we just got to get our flights, and we're going to Puerto Rico. So
busy, busy man you are.
Yeah, and then after that, we're broke, and we have no money to spend.
You'll be stuck back here in sunny Florida.
And we won't be
Florida.
Going anywhere for the rest of 2019. I say that, and then some insane airfare will pop up.
Yeah. You'll see Japan for $600 again and be like...
Now, what's funny is I've seen Japan for less than what we paid for.
I saw...
In the spring, during cherry blossom season, I've seen tickets for $580 round trip.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, you know.
Hey!
I don't know if... But we will... I have a feeling we will... After we go to Japan, we will definitely be back.
Yeah. One day we'll get out there. It's just hard with three kids.
Yeah,
we'll have to figure out something, some way.
It was hard enough figuring out what to do with the three dogs.
Yeah, so imagine having three kids to figure out what to do with, because there's no way. I love my kids, but my first trip to Japan is, I mean, maybe my maybe Jordan, my oldest.
Yeah.
But we'd have to figure out what to do with the other two. One day. Speaking of all this international stuff, IAPA. IAPA kicks off this week. And we'll be there Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be there together
Wednesday.
Wednesday, I'll be there.
And then I may try and squeeze in one more day, depending if I can get out of work early. But we will definitely be there Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday, I think we're going to be busy with probably hopping around to different press conferences, announcements. And then I think Wednesday we're going to walk around and actually chat with some of the ride designers, some of the big stuff that's going on, and we're going to try and get a whole podcast episode out of just chatting with some of the theme park designers, the coaster designers. There's so much at IAPA. For those that have been, for those that haven't been, it's this mecca of roller coaster designers. Anything to do with a theme park is at this convention. Food, rides, entry point, you know, ticketing.
Yeah, everything that's involved with theme parks, amusement parks, family fun centers.
Yeah.
It's all at IAPA. Well, the official name is the International Attractions Expo. This is the big one they have every year. Pretty much it's been in here for Orlando. And I think now with IAPA's headquarters being in Orlando, it's never going to leave Orlando anytime soon.
Yeah, they locked in a contract, I think, a couple of years ago through like 2020-something.
Yeah, and so we're since we have this new portable digital recorder, we're going to try something new where we're going to actually do the podcast from the show floor, record from the show floor, and walk around and interview some of the different attractions designers, and who knows, we might interview the people with beaver tails. So we're going to create a whole episode out of talking to people at IAPA, and then we'll also do another episode where we sort of wrap our thoughts of different things we experienced at IAPA. So
that's the thing with IAPA, is you don't know what you're, you know. I've been going for probably the latter part of a decade, maybe a little bit longer. And there's always something weird and bizarre you see at IAPA, aside from the usual, you know, coaster designers there unveiling their latest design of a new roller coaster. There's always some bizarre thing you see, and you're like, what is that? So it'll be a blast. It's always insane. It's always overwhelming, but... I always enjoy going to IAPA. It's a blast. So we will be there Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll try to bring you guys some goodies from there as far as the podcast goes. And yeah, of course, everything will be on social media.
Yep, everything will be on social media, aka at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/Thrill Geek. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page. That's where our live streams are. And this past week, we live streamed from Flurry of Fun and the Christmas Tree Trail at Disney Springs. And we are youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can see the latest videos. And we'll, as the holiday season's going, we'll have all kinds of new Christmas videos from all the different parks around the area. And, of course, coming in December, we'll have a bunch of stuff on YouTube from Tokyo Disney.
I just looked today. We're coming up on 20,000 subscribers, so
yeah, thank you for following along. And we are thrillgeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news, and you are listening to the Thrill Geek Podcast, available wherever you can get a podcast. You can get the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Yes sir, we are everywhere. And speaking of which, like I said earlier, I was at that private event that my sister invited me to, and I ran into a fan of Thrill Geek, and his name was Clint.
Nah.
I was like, it's a small world. I was like, I don't run into Clints too often. But to be at a private event at Universal, I think my sister said there was only like 6,000-8,000 people there. 6,000-8,000 people. Not too many. to run into somebody that was a fan of Thrill Geek, and their name was Clint also. If we were getting off the Woody Woodpecker coaster, and he approached me, and I was like, oh, that's cool. So, you know, thank you guys for all your support, whether it's the podcast, the website, the YouTube channel. We greatly appreciate it. I know I do, and I know Barry does as well. So,
yeah. Just kidding.
No, I appreciate you. So if nobody else does, you know I do, because everything you do. So, yeah, we'll see you guys again next week. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you in the parks.